chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, up next, Stacks and Jacks. That's Molly, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP futures, we got them down this morning. We got Dow down 96. We got NASDAQ futures down 28. How come we're down, Frank? What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I was going to ask you why we were down, too. Well, I think it's interest rates.
I get it, too. It's becoming a big deal, and all people are starting to write about it. We were just about...
And the farmers are starting to get really whacked on soybeans. You know, it's just one little thing after another.
We're
down right now 2% from Wednesday afternoon on the S&P.
Why? We were only, what, 4 years early, 3 years early, you and me?
Oh, we're always early.
Yeah, this is...
the Irish curse.
Oh, I know.
But,
yeah, I don't...
yeah, we were early. The... October VIX futures, 16 right now, or approaching 16, so people are, the professionals are wary right now.
Well, we got, somehow or other, we've got gold down, we got silver down, everything's down. I don't understand why those things, if inflation is peaking up, why are they not going up? But they're not. Very strange.
Well, it could be that people are finally saying, hey, no big deal on the precious metals.
Well, I mean, if they're not making much more gold, so if your dollar gets worth less and less, read inflation should be going the other way, and it's not.
Yeah, well, one would think that, but it could be cultural changes in you know, the subcontinent, and China could be driving that too.
I thought
you'd rather have a Lexus than gold.
I thought only old whack jobs were into gold.
Well, you're talking to two.
Well, all the commercials and stuff, buy gold and all this stuff. I thought that was just like to trick old people.
Well, it has been from time to time, but whenever the idea is that when you have your money, boy, this is come talk about old school. Your money derives its value by its scarcity. So whenever you have more and more paper money pouring into the system. Anything that has value, you always want to own assets. And traditionally, since money has been gold-backed most of the time, or a lot of the time during recorded history, you would think that if the dollar, since there's only a certain amount of gold, that if you keep pouring more and more dollars in the system every year like we have for 9 years, that gold will get more expensive vis-a-vis the dollar, not vis-a-vis anything else necessarily. That's the conundrum that if you don't, I'm not saying I fully understand currencies, but I've studied them most of my life. When you say something's expensive, Matty, it's always expensive in relation to something else. I mean, for instance, if the dollar were to go down versus the yen, and you saw gold racketing up, well, okay, it's going up in relation to the dollar, but it might be going down in relation to the yen. So the Americans, people who live in the U.S., that never even come across another currency most of the time if you live in Chicago, unless you travel some. You have no concept of all this stuff going on. And why should you? It's not a criticism. It's just why should you? The only thing you've ever seen is the dollar in your pocket or in your credit card or whatever. So it's all in relation to something else. I mean, when you talk about inflation, the dollar's going up, the value of the dollar's going down in relation to, say, your house, in relation to breakfast. But it might actually be going up in relationship to a euro dollar, which is going down faster than the dollar. So it's a question of you know, it's a relative thing, which is very difficult for, I think, a lot of people to fathom, don't you, Frank?
Well, Manny, is it? I agree. And I think there's global impacts, too. So inflation in India or China, the bigger developing countries, will truly drive demand for gold.
So what I just said, Manny, if you look at, and I don't follow, I mean, we should, we actually should have a report every week somebody should come in, or I should make a report for 5 minutes or so. We may give Frank this job. Or we should talk about all the different currencies in the world. Now, didn't the Indian currency, not the Indians from here, the Indians from India, didn't their currencies make like a record low, Frank? Now, in relation to their stuff, gold's probably skyrocketing. Right, Frank?
Right, exactly, because it's a safe haven.
Yeah, and actually there's a huge demand for gold in India. So the fact that their currency is going down probably has cut that demand for gold, which probably is one of the reasons why gold isn't going up. So, I mean, there's a lot to this, is what I'm saying. But in general, if you were to have a 12% inflation rate, you would expect gold to be higher than it is now by, like, a lot. Is that the truth, Frank? I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because in the 80s, when I started, and silver and gold were making those huge record highs, and inflation was 13%. Right?
Yes, it took the hunts under, though.
Yeah, well, because it went the other way.
Almost.
Well, that's what happened when you try and corner the entire world market in silver. I mean, that's a little bit of a problem. Well, those guys, how much money did they make for the first 5 years, though? It was unbelievable. Man, these guys, what happens when you do this stuff, I mean, I might as well take a second. People are very used to trading indexes and individual stocks and things. Most people are not all that interested. They're not used to trading futures. It's a huge difference. I mean, if you buy, you call up PTI Securities and you say, I want to buy 1,000 shares of IBM, or pick a stock or pick an index, whatever the hell it happens to be, you can borrow 50% on that. That's called the initial margin. So if you buy 1,000 shares of IBM at $160, it's $160,000. You got to send us a check for 80. And the other 80 you borrow. Now, if IBM goes down the next day, which it might, it's not really an issue. You don't have to send us any more money until the price of your equity is 30%. So there's a slide there of 20%. So in other words, so IBM's going to probably have to go down to, what, 130 or so, Frank, before you get a margin call, maybe even 125, 120, somewhere in there. You'd have to do the math before we call you up and say, hey, you got to sell some of your IBM or you got to send us more money. It's not instant. But now in the futures world, if I go to buy, I'll keep it simple. If I go buy 5,000 bushels of soybeans at whatever the hell soybeans is, say $10, the margin might be $2,000 for that contract. So I put up $2,000. Well, if the value of my holding goes down $1,000 the next day, okay, I only have $1,000 equity now, but my margin, good faith deposit, is still $2,000. So I have to send a check in for $1,000, or I have to liquidate the position, one of the two, which is not the same. But on the upside, so figure you're not Matt Weber anymore. You're was it Book Baker Hunt? What was the other guy's name? It was Baker. Was a brother's name, Frank? I forget.
Oh gosh, I should know. We had a classmate marry one of his daughters.
Really? Well, it was Baker, and I don't know who the other guy was. I was going to say Booker, but I don't think it was Booker. Anyway.
No.
Bunker. Bunker, that's right. So the other thing is, so say you put up $100,000 and you buy, pick your future of choice, you buy 10 futures, and all of a sudden it runs up, and now you got $200,000. Well, guess what? You can buy another 10 futures. Right? Because you now have enough margin. If $10,000 was your margin for 10 of them, and it's in it, or $100,000, and now it's up, you're up $100,000, you got margin for another 10 of them. So if you want to run this, and you're not worried about risk, you can just keep piling on the way up, which is what they did, right, Frank? I mean, I don't think they hedged anything. They just kept piling. And of course, then you start running into people who say, well, okay, silver's $20, it's never going to go to 30, and all of a sudden it runs to 30, and they have to turn around and buy it, they have to cover their shorts. They ran it from what? I mean, some incredibly low number to something. Silver didn't touch 100, did it? Was it? I mean, I don't even remember, Frank, but it was way the hell up there. And all of a sudden, the thing crashes, and these guys don't have the dough. They had millions and millions of dollars in margin calls, and they also had a bunch of spot silver, which means they actually had silver. So they made a margin call to the Board of Trade with a Brinks truck where they were hauling silver in the front door, didn't they, Frank? Some story?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was. So man, the future side can get totally out of control, way more than the equity side can, because you don't put up as much to start with, and you don't have that sliding amount. So that was one of the big changes in 1929 after the crash. That in those days, the margin I think was 10%, Frank, but you had to maintain it, right? Just like a future. So when it went down, it was cash up. So you end up having to pony up a lot of money, which you didn't have, or everybody has to sell at once. So it can be a total carnage on the future side because of that. Anyway, kind of a long story, but it is a long story. So if you trade futures.
Yeah, it made it up to 48.70.
Okay.
Which is right around where it made it up to, when was that, about 6 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah,
almost exactly where it was.
They had so much that they literally had nobody to sell it to, right, Frank?
The Fed had to step in.
Yeah. It was pretty bizarre. It's like when you say, you know, why should gold go up for old guys? Well, if you're in India, man, it's the best investment you've got right now because your currency's going down faster than the gold. So, you know, it's in general, most of the time, I would agree with you. It doesn't pay a dividend, and you have to pay to store it. Right, Frank? So it's not the...
Exactly.
It's not the world...
Or buy a gun.
So what did you think of the... There's a few lessons out of this Kavanaugh thing, I think, on all sides. But, of course, nobody's gonna look in the mirror and look at their lesson. That's never going to happen.
Right, and we'll be castigated for talking about the lessons, Tom.
Well, you know, but
I will be.
But there are some. I mean, it's... I think that the... On the female side, or on the anti-Kavanaugh side, I think in truth, an accusation is not evidence. And I think in a country that allegedly has the rule of law, though we seem to wander off that an awful lot, the simple fact is you can't just accuse somebody, and it doesn't become evidence. I mean, you can be believable, you can be whatever, but it's not. I mean, I'm just saying, I believe the lady, actually.
Well, I think it's a job interview, not a court proceeding.
Well, but it also is. It would
There's
really,
a different standards.
But you need something to corroborate something, or it does become one man's word against another. If there would have been some report, even with the I'm sure they had a, I don't know, was she in a sorority? I mean, where do those people even live in high school? I don't even... All we had was a dorm, Frank, so I don't have any idea what the rest of the world has in these boarding schools. Is there a dorm? Is there a dorm mom, a dorm dad?
I think
dad?
In high schools they live in dorms. I don't think there's fraternities and sororities or houses or whatever they live in. They have house parents. You and I lived at home in high school.
But if there was some, you know, some conversation the lady had when she got back the next day with... whoever was in charge of the place that was documented, something. So there needs to be something. You can't just come up 45 years later and sort of 25 years later, whatever it was, and say, this happened, by the way, I have no evidence, but, you know, this guy, everybody should, you can't, and I wonder, Frank, what people, and this, I was listening to this whole post-mortem yesterday and the whole thing, talking about how the Nancy, or whoever it was, Dianne Feinstein of the world, how this lady's thing was going to be anonymous. Nothing like that's ever anonymous. How the hell, what was she expecting? She was going to give somebody an anonymous letter, and somehow an anonymous letter is going to torpedo somebody's nomination for anything? Don't you get to meet your accuser in this country when something's that important?
It's a job interview.
Well, but it's a real job.
I mean, the whole thing is, I find it very interesting that we're turning, really, we're going on to victim blaming. Quite frankly,
I'm not blaming.
I don't see Kavanaugh as a victim.
I don't.
This weekend, I heard people talking about, hey, you know, talking about men being unrightful, you know, not being accused. They can't prove it. My experience says a lot of guys are guilty of this. Number two, I also heard people say, well, why don't women talk about it? You know, I don't hear about it.
Well, that's
ask
the beauty.
Your sisters.
But that's
if you're 50, ask your sisters.
But I'm saying, Frank,
ask your wife.
That's the beauty of
them all.
Okay, I get that, and I'm not just sympathetic. I'm more than sympathetic. I mean,
okay.
I understand, and I agree with what I'm saying is, it's not evidence. You can't convict somebody on what she had.
It's not convicted, right? The rules of conviction should not hold
okay,
on a job
but
job interview.
Okay.
I think he was an a-hole when he was in high school, and he's proved himself with Senator Klobuchar that he's an a-hole now.
You're not going to convince.
I don't want a-holes on the Supreme Court. That's good enough for me.
First of all, you're not going to convince me that this guy's a good candidate. That's not where I'm. Okay. That's not where I'm going here. What I'm saying is,
I understand. I don't see it as a problem.
I'm saying an
white guys do.
You have there's a decision to be made, and it's a very poor decision. If somebody does something to you 25 years ago, if somebody would have done something to me, okay, and I decided to keep it a secret, foolishly or not, I guess 30 years later I got to keep it a secret, Frank. There's something to be said for
that. Yeah, you do.
I mean, and it was a bad idea. A lot of women, it seems to be, because they're coming out of the woodwork, have all had experiences like this, which I would never have guessed, since I've never done that to anybody, and I've never seen it really. To be honest with you, Frank, I've never seen it. You know, maybe I was in the good boarding school or something. But by the same token, you know, we have a president who can't, whose backers seem to, and I have people close to me that are his backers, which I can't fathom. This guy is the absolute. If you voted for him, if I voted for this guy, this is exactly the swamp creature I would not want going anywhere. If ever there was a little alligator that never got out of the swamp, it's this guy. And so I mean, you can't believe Trump. I mean, and this guy, he's not a terrific man. He's not any of those things. He's just a very bright but very troubled young guy. Now he's at a. Now, in the last 20 years, from what I read, there's not going to be... He's never going to vote the way I want him to vote once if he's there 40 years. I'm not going to make it 40 years, but he might. I mean, he's not going to vote for a union. He's not going to vote for a small business. He's going to vote for anything like that. I don't want the man in there. You'll see people say stuff this weekend, even like Mitch McConnell, who I absolutely can't stand, was talking about how the people who were... When is it, Frank, that Maddie, does every single person who feels he's in charge in the office, anybody who disagree with him, the other side's always the mob, right? Because he has the power, it's okay for him. Anybody who disagrees with him, always the mob. That's the only way the mob can get hurt. I mean, you can't just go through channels and write McConnell a letter. That's not going to work. These guys are so. This guy's been there since 1984, some judge's clerk before that. He's another swamp creature. They don't think anybody.
And he had admitted as such yesterday, Tom. Somebody asked him, well, if there's 2 months before the 2020 election and there's a Supreme Court nominee, will you hold off for the next president? And he said, no, we're in charge. We control.
Yeah, he's in charge.
Congress. So, yeah. No.
But the weird part is, it's not like, and here's kind of where I am on this, and I don't know if Matty always criticized me, but I think he finds out that I'm sort of in the same spot he is, he just doesn't know it. This has been a disastrous performance on the part of what's left of the Republican Party in my mind. I mean, this guy, I don't know how they found him. He's gonna protect Trump, and he's gonna vote everything they want him to vote. He's done it his whole life. He's just a little creature of the place. Now, the Democrats, are they foolish enough to think that because I don't like this guy and the way the Republicans have put this off and McConnell and these creatures, is that going to toss me into the waiting arms of Dianne Feinstein, Elizabeth Warren, and that group? Hell no. It just leaves me adrift. I'm adrift. Robert Redford said it this weekend. I can't believe the country I'm in. Where is this place? I mean, does anybody really feel an affinity for either one of these parties? I mean, there are creatures that love the people on the right, and there are some people, I guess, who like the people on. But I mean, I'm going to guess 70% of the public right now doesn't know where the hell they're at. Maybe it's 60 or 50, but I'm thinking if we had Tricky Dick around saying the most silent majority, I think now would be the time. And I'm not so sure how silent everybody is, but I mean, Frank, do you know anybody who's dying to be on either one of these sides right now?
No, unless you have a desire for power. Unless you want to be an alligator.
Well, yeah, but those guys, they're so used to being out there. How do they even understand? People come in here and protest, and the only way they can be heard, and now they're the mob. These the women and the blacks yelling drove people back to the Republican Party, which by the way is not exactly untrue. I think it's very true that nobody wants that other side. The other side made themselves pretty much as despicable as the Republicans did, right?
Well, and there's, you know, there's fake news going on there. I was with not an exciting group this weekend, but I learned that 90% of the people in our prisons are black. 90% of the people on welfare are black, and 95% of all black households are headed by a woman.
Those seem like a little rich. Those numbers?
Yeah, the numbers are 33% of blacks are in jail. 22% of black households with children are headed by women. I mean, this is astounding numbers. And how do you even discuss
this? Well, because if you live in Chicago, you've been here your entire life, you see that 84% of the murders are black on black. Right? That's not an untrue statement.
Right.
But you have no concept of the entire Appalachia through Georgia over to Arkansas is all white, and the numbers
right
there are just as bad as they are here. In terms of people on welfare, they're all white. Not all white, but most of them are, right?
Yeah, this is a socioeconomic problem.
But I mean,
and throwing guns and opioids, and there you go.
But in Chicago, I mean, if you look at the murder rates and so forth, they're correct. It's mostly black. I mean, you can't debate that, I don't think, can you? I mean, how can you?
Hey, Tom, I got to switch phones.
Okay, why don't you switch phones? We got to go to break. Anyway, SP Futures down 7. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Based Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Frank Fahey. S&P futures down 7. Dow futures down 95. NASDAQ futures down 26. Oil down 96 cents, 73.38. If you're trying to find anything down today, bonds are down too, but interest rates are up, 3.23. Over in Europe, we've got whack, whack, whack. We've got DAX down 114, it's 1%. FTSE down 46.6%. CAC around down 49.9%. So pretty much down across the border. Asia, however, unreal. We've got Nikkei down 191.8%. Shanghai down 104, that's 3.72%. Now, careful here because you guys are closed a few days, so some of that is catch up. 2716, way under 2800. Hang Seng down another 370, 1.4%, 26,202. Like I said, we've got oil down 96, we've got Brent down 126. Natural gas up 7 cents again, 3.21. Arbob gas down 3 cents, though. So natural gas is now the leader in that whole area after being, like, dead for years. Gold down 8 bucks, silver down 16 cents, not good. Not that patch. Maybe we got for us traffic for the sports. By the way, the Italian market was down huge. That probably was leading Europe lower. So some of these off markets are getting clobbered pretty good. We got for us traffic weather sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Lots of fog in the area, so give yourself plenty of time as you're heading out this morning. We do have one crash to report. Not a good one. I-55 northbound at LaGrange Road. There's a rollover accident to the southbound LaGrange Road off-ramp. Vehicle is in the ditch, but crews are on the scene there, and that's causing some delays on I-55 northbound right at LaGrange, so keep that in mind. No issues on the Dan Ryan I-57 or the Bishop Ford, so the rest of the south side is looking okay. Traffic building on the Stevenson, more inbound than that crash. Closer to Cicero and the airport. Also, Eisenhower, traffic building pretty heavily. Kennedy and Edens are looking okay. No accidents or issues to report there. Off the expressways on the south side, South Cottage Grove Avenue between 115th and 111th is closed for police activity. Apparently, three people were shot there overnight. An investigation is going on there on the south side. And in the northern suburbs, traffic lights are flashing red at Quinton Road and Cuba Road. In the northwestern suburbs, and that's causing some delays as well. Also in the loop, Balbo between Columbus and Lakeshore Drive is closed until Wednesday for Chicago Marathon cleanup, so that'll affect some traffic in the loop. But a lot of people are off today because of Columbus Day. as the schools are closed and the banking industry is closed and some other industries are closed. So it should be lighter than normal traffic this morning.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't when we were coming in. It didn't seem so anyway. I think the fog and the rain probably has something to do with that as well. Weather today, as I mentioned, fog early and then mostly cloudy skies. Lots of rain in the forecast, but hot and humid temperatures today for this time of year. We'll reach a high of 83 and even a few degrees warmer than that inland. Right now it's cloudy, foggy, and wet and 65 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 83. For our Phoenix listeners, a beautiful day. Partly cloudy skies, a high of just 76. Right now it's mostly clear and 59. In sports, Bears were off yesterday as they had their bye week and remained in first place in the NFC North at 3-1. They're at Miami this week. Cardinals were in action. They got their first win of the season. They beat the 49ers 28-18. Sunday Night Football, it was Houston over Dallas with a game-winning field goal in overtime, 19-16 in that one. In hockey, Blackhawks off to a pretty good start this season, but last night they lost at home in overtime to the Maple Leafs 7-6. Major League Baseball, the Brewers have already advanced to the NLCS after sweeping Colorado. They won 6-0 yesterday on the road, sweep that series 3-0. They'll take on the winner of the Dodgers and the Braves. The Braves survived, winning 6-5. They blew a 5-0 lead, but held on to beat the Dodgers. So LA leads that series 2-1. And lastly, Chief, your Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Franks as well, are now 6-0 and ranked number 5 in both the AP and coaches polls. So far, Chief.
I'm going to think that was, by a lot of standards, that game Saturday was the toughest one left. Their schedule has kind of disappeared on them. Michigan, Southern Cal, a lot of teams that are usually really good.
Well, Michigan's still good.
Well, they're pretty, but they're not.
Their only loss was Notre Dame. They're 5-1. They're ranked 12th. Yeah, Southern Cal is not having a good year. Virginia Tech was a solid win. Stanford appears to not be that good. They got smoked on Saturday.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, but Bryce Love was hurt.
Yeah, that's true. But to lose at home to Utah by 3 touchdowns, yeah, that's a.
Oh, I know.
That's a tough one.
It's bad. The Illinois won. They beat Rutgers, eh?
Yeah. Well, if Rutgers was your only Big Ten opponent, Illinois would be really good.
So much as I hate to do this, I'm going to go to the, because we've had a huge trial on Friday, and I guess we dodged the riots, or we dodged something. I think the judge was sort of genius to lob that potential of a second degree in there, don't you think, Frank?
Yes.
But then you had the head of the police department out there defending the whole thing, and I don't know how you defend that video. I don't see how you do that. But
oh, you mean the head of the FOP?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see how you do that. But so, but just in terms of as you get people, you know, let's put it this way: there's been 2,363 people shot in the city this year. And there have been, I think, a total of 14 shot by policemen. So I mean, it's a four killed, 10 wounded. There would be some that would say that if everybody's shooting guns all over the place, there should be more of those people getting shot. But I won't go down that road. But this is these numbers are absolutely staggering when you look at. I'm looking at this HeyJackass.com. The numbers of black involvement 78.7. this year versus, I think, 84 last year. So somebody's picking it up in here, either the whites or Hispanics. They're picking up their... this is just absolutely disgusting. There's 31 people that have shot themselves on the selfie-o-meter. 38 people have been... 90 people have been shot in the ass. 38 people have been shot in the junk. I can't believe if this makes it up to, like, another planet, if there are other people in the world... How anybody could even look at this and say this is a civilized society? This is absolutely incredible. When you think about this, and I'll get a little of this year, and the amount of the police work. How many carjackings do you think have been so far this year, Manny?
I have no idea,
Frank.
I don't have a clue.
500 so far this year. Last year there were 938. Guess how many arrests out of 500?
So we're going to be way down this year.
We could be.
Likely, if it was almost 1,000 last year, and we're already halfway through October, yeah. And only 500.
Yeah, it's
50 arrests?
43.
10%?
How many arrests do we have for murders?
I'm going to say the clearance rate is 14% or something along. What do you mean by arrest? Let's see what we got here. The clearance rate, no, out of 500 and some murders, no suspect charged 367. Suspect charged 63. So how many of those will be convicted? I don't know. Police involved 4. Self-defense 2 and murder-suicide 5. So I'm going to say that the suspect charge, there are, a lot of those are in the white and other category because it's like somebody shot their girlfriend or boyfriend or something. Just a guess. I mean, this is absolutely pathetic. And when you look at this, look at the job the hospitals are doing. I can only imagine what these numbers would have been.
A great job.
Out of 2,363 people shot, only 386 have died. 1,977 we managed to patch back together. I have to believe, Maddie, in 1972 those numbers were probably flipped.
Remember? Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, there's some of these emergency rooms that have seen the same person 3 and 4 times. They're like on a first name basis with the guy. I mean, it's scary, and to think that there's not issues. And I have to believe that the drug issues have caused. I mean, I have no idea what the violent rates are in the Appalachians or in Alabama or someplace, but with the drugs around, it they got to be creeping up there too. But I don't know that for a fact. I don't know where you can find that out. But yeah, we've got some. When you look at the list of problems and you put it up on one stack on one side of the table, and you watch the performance in Washington, how big of a. Because they couldn't wait to nominate some guy that anybody really with half a brain doesn't like, it's not like you can't turn your life around or whatever, but we had to go get somebody, who probably never tried a case. His first time he was in a court, he was a judge. I mean, I think for most people that's a problem. But, plus, it appears he's partisan as all get out. He spent his formative years. Ken Starr chased Clinton for how many years, Frank? I mean, Lou has all these numbers, but...
Seven.
And did he ever even get an indictment? And everybody's all over this guy, and he's been there, what, a year and a half, and he's already got, what, 35 indictments or something? Or some massive number? I mean, Ken Starr, talk about a witch hunt. Him after Clinton. You know, there's a lot of reasons not to like Clinton. I get it. I mean, it's not like, I'm obtuse on that, but... If you were to line up the 10 biggest problems in this country, how much progress do you think was made on 8 of them, or 10, on any of them, with all the crap that was going on with this guy in the Supreme Court in the last 12 weeks?
Well, here we are talking about murders. Yeah. Do you think guns are a problem? I'll jump right into the frying pan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no doubt that a gun in the proper hands is probably not a problem, but a gun in the wrong hands is a serious problem. Except, how do you keep it out of with the gun people? And here's, I think, the change. I don't know, maybe you could.
The gun people say the gun manufacturers. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA. I used to be active in it, doing youth training.
Did you wear the full suit with the NRA hat?
No, I don't wear uniforms, Tom.
All right. Not even a hat?
But no, yeah, I had the NRA patch, lifetime member patch, and I go into schools and teach gun safety in South Bend.
Okay.
And then I came here, and it was taken over by the manufacturers. They came in with money.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically took over. So when you say the gun people, it's the gun manufacturers run the NRA.
We've reached what was the name of the high school in Florida, Manny, where we came flying out of there all over the country?
Parkland?
Yeah, or the difference there, and I try and sense somewhat differences in that, people who have a gun have a right to have a gun. It's in the Constitution, I get that part. But other people have a right to
not. It does say well-regulated, yeah,
right,
Tom.
I know, but it also, but other people have a right to not get shot. Right? I would think you have a right to walk down the street and not get blasted. So there's a conflict there right out of the gate. And the idea is, I think the gun people have, there's been these, I'll call them half-ass rules forever, and you've had your chance for 50 or 60 years. You just can't keep the guns out of the wrong people's hands. Whether they're a lunatic young black people, whether they're lunatic old white people, whether they're lunatic young white people, whether whoever the hell they are, we just can't seem as a society to enforce any law here of any consequence. As I drove down to Manteno on Saturday to drop off stuff at the veterans' home, as I always do because they did such a great job with my stepfather, I probably had 4 to 5 people racing by me at 120 miles an hour, Frank. We can't do anything. We can't enforce traffic laws. We can't enforce stoplights. We can't enforce murders. We can't do anything in this country. We spend more money on law enforcement than anybody else in the world, and our people don't, not that individual people don't do a good job. Don't get me wrong. Collectively, we don't seem to be able to do anything. I mean, how the hell would there,
we can warehouse them.
Yeah.
What's our rate of incarceration versus the rest of the world?
Well, the two people that got shot on 35th Street right by White Sox Park, what are they, 2 blocks from the main police station? How many cops are driving? Nobody's afraid of these people. I mean, nobody thinks they're going to get out of their squad and do something. I mean, it's astounding. I mean, when you see somebody going 120 miles an hour down to Dan Ryan, the thought that they're going to get pulled over never even crosses their mind. And why is that? Because there's nobody there. I mean,
Hey, a question. How many of those were Chrysler products
passed
you?
A few, actually. It's hard to tell.
I've noticed that there's a lot of that going on.
Well, because the Chrysler products, they look like the gangster cars. That's who the gangbangers buy.
Well, it's cheaper than anything else,
but
too.
But they've got the little windows. They look like the gangster cars. They look like the Al Capone vehicles. So people love them. All right, Frank, so how are we going to trade this? I mean, we're heading south. We look like the interest rates are going up. Everybody seems stunned. And then I still can't get over the fact that people are on TV all day long wondering why banks aren't going way up because the interest rates are going up because somebody's been telling them that banks do better with high interest rates. I don't know how you can do better with high interest rates
we're going to find out about the banks Thursday morning.
Yeah.
The earnings season's starting. So on Thursday morning, we have Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, PNC and Wells Fargo are announcing profits.
What are you thinking?
Or earnings, I should say. You have to be a moron to lose money as a bank in this environment.
Well, it's a question of how much you're going to make and how much you're going to pay yourself inside. It has nothing to do with profit.
Right, and it has to do... So the response is, does the investing public or the club think they should make?
Right, and are you going to?
That's going to be a very interesting morning.
I would agree. Now, the rates piling up obviously is going to affect people's. I guess I understand the part that if your rate goes from. So what is an adjustable rate mortgage going from? Probably 3.5 to what, 5, 4.5 in the last month. It's got to be up like a half.
I have no idea, but it's gone up. So that's going to impact housing.
Well, but it's happening also at the same time. I know some people have been contributors to the show that live downtown area. You know, maybe they've been catching a break for a while. I don't know. Notice of taxation to go up 30%, 25 or 30%, Frank, for their taxes. These are people who live on River North, that kind of area.
Okay.
So now, what do you suppose happens if your house, your townhome or your condo or whatever, say it's worth... pick a number. Say it's worth $800,000 or something as of last year. So then your taxes are, say, 12, 15, or whatever they are. Now all of a sudden they're going to be 20. And now your interest, your mortgage rate is going to go from 4 to 5.25 or something like that, or 3.5 to 4.5. The cost per month of the person you're going to sell it to is now just up, $2,000 a month, $1,800, $1,500, something like that. I should have done the math. Say even it's $1,000. So what does that bring the price of the home down? It's got to bring it down 5%, doesn't it? 8%.
Mm-hmm.
The math here is so simple, and yet we seem to be in denial of the math because we haven't seen it happen in so long.
I'll give you an example. My house in Elmhurst, over 22 years, went up 20% in price, and my taxes went up 100%.
Yeah, and your taxes doubled. So it's
right,
which is I'm going to say that's probably about average, Frank. I would have said 15 years they probably doubled for most other people. You actually probably got off a little light 20 years. Of course, you probably got older. You had the old fart exemption, didn't you?
No. You have to make less than $50,000 a year as a household.
Oh.
Cook County has a different one, or the city of Chicago.
Hey, speaking of old fart exemptions, you'll love this one. Poor Audrey here, her poodle, was not doing so well the other day. He's doing a lot better. But Dan the poodle, he's pushing 16, so I hope he lasts quite a bit longer, but it's pretty old. So I go online, right, to see poodle rescue, to see maybe if something happened to the poor guy. So I get on the Tulsa Poodle Rescue site, of all places. As far as you can, so get a load of this. Maybe they have a senior to senior discount. If an over 65-year-old person adopts an over 10-year-old dog, they cut your adoption price in half.
Huh, I like that.
So neither one of you are going to last too long. We'll cut it down from $175 to $100. The senior to senior match, they call it. It's like match.com, only for you and dogs instead of you and another old person. Actually, I thought it was kind of clever. But there are some neat things in this world, Frank. You get to save $75 on your dog. Only if you got an old dog. If you got a young dog, you're still paying $175. Just saying.
So, Tom, have you started eating dinner before 6 o'clock or 6:30 yet?
No.
Advantage of the discount?
No. I used to... Boy, if I ever wanted to piss my mom off when she was alive, of course I always do that all the time anyway. She'd always say, I get the senior discount at this place. And I go, Mom, why do you get a senior discount? She goes, why? Because we're seniors. I said, the seniors got all the money. You should pay double.
Yeah, I've always felt the same about they ride free on public transportation. And I'm like, you have all the money.
Yeah, you got the dough.
Why are you riding free?
Well, come on. Do you want them driving?
No, I don't want them
driving. No, I don't want them driving.
But okay. Then at least they're not you going should a, let them ride free.
At least they're not going 100. The anyway, so it's Frank, are we ready? Are we going to get a 10, 15, 20% correction? I don't want to predict that, but I wouldn't be that surprised.
I don't think yet, but I'd be wary. I mean, we're only down 1.5% from all time highs, or 2%. I mean, that's nothing.
That is true.
And we've gotten sucked into this before. Do I want to go long? No.
We've seen some whackage in the fangs. What's the Amazon down? $125. It's high. It's like 19.25. Only 50. I mean, we've had some wobbling, and the leadership is fading a little bit. I mean, those guys were the entire market.
Right. Priceline doesn't look good. That's another one that's gone from like $900 to $2,000 over the past year and a half.
All these things, I honestly don't have an opinion, Frank, whether these guys are going to be right or wrong. What's yours? I mean, the idea that in our day, nobody would want to stack that high because nobody could really trade. Of course, there were issues with the execution, and firms used to really screw people with not firms, the whole industry. You paid up on the price if you did what they call an odd lot, less than 100 shares. The odd lot doesn't mean odd number of shares, man. It means less than 100. So if you did an odd lot, you paid more, and the commission was higher. So it was very difficult to do. Plus, you can't really hedge it because you don't have, options around 100 shares. You could hedge it, but you'd have to over-hedge it or under-hedge it. So most companies like to have their stock. The ideal price is, between 30 and 50 or something, Frank, in those days?
Mm-hmm.
People used to think.
Probably 75 to 150 right now.
Okay, but now we've got these stocks that nobody seems to ever want to split. And they really are, if you count the indexes, they're 75, 80, 85% institutionally owned, which nobody really wanted. The idea was the institutions would bail where individual people necessarily wouldn't. Now I think the idea has gone the other way, don't you? I mean, it's everybody's people.
Oh, 2008 taught them the efficacy of bailing.
Well, sure. But I mean, but two things. When funds have to bail, and I say, okay, why does a fund have to bail? Whenever you see at the end of the day, you'll see somebody walk across the CNBC or the other stations, and they'll say, there's this much to buy or this much to sell on the close. A lot of that is mutual fund buying or selling. Now you say to yourself, now why the hell could that be? Well, if you went up to a lot of mutual funds here, we carry a lot of them for people who brought them in here, but I've never sold one in my life. So if you you know, or trading a PTI, I'm going to suggest you do an ETF, unless you're very young. If you're young, then a mutual fund's a good idea because you can send them $50 and they'll put you in a mutual fund and won't charge you commission. So if you're young, mutual funds are a good idea to get started. Having said that, if you trade an ETF, if you call my brother up or me or whatever at 10 o'clock in the morning and say, I want to buy $100,000 or sell $100,000 of spiders. Okay, you buy it. Say you're buying it. You buy the spider. You get whatever price you're getting, $260. That's your trade. That's it. If it goes down the rest of the day, well, you should have waited. If it goes up, hey, you made a nice buy. So, but mutual funds don't work like that. What happens is they gather up all the buys and sells during the day. And if there's an appreciable amount left to either buy or sell, they do it on the close. So essentially everything is a closing price. So if the market opens up down 2%, which it hasn't in forever, and you, like a bunny rabbit, call up and say, I want to buy some spiders, and you buy the dip from me, and the spiders run back up to be unchanged on the day, you made 2%. Okay, if you call your mutual fund guy up, or I guess we could buy one for you, we don't normally, but let's say I want to buy it in XYZ mutual fund, and so many other people did that there was an imbalance where they had to buy at the end of the day, they're going to buy at the end of the day. So you're actually going to buy on the high of the day, not the low. Or it could work the other way. You could call up and say, I want to buy at the end of the day, it could be a lot lower. So it's not like you always lose. You don't. You just don't get the price. So what ends up happening is at the end of the day, there's always stock to buy or to sell. Okay, so there's like an imbalance on the close. So you can sort of tell sometimes where the retail money is. If there's a lot of people buying into the market, there's always stock to buy in the close. If people are selling, there's always stock to sell in the close. Right, Frank? I mean, that's the way that all works out. But what you end up happening is if a mutual fund, say everybody, the market goes down like 2008, and all of a sudden everybody says, sell, Mortimer. At the end of the day, mutual funds they don't pick out the stocks that they see are the crummy ones, the ones that are down on the day. They just have to get to a number. So if there's 15 stocks, pick an area. If every one of the fangs decides it's basically getting its ass kicked, and a mutual fund needs to sell something, they might end up having to sell the drug companies because they're up. They just need to get dollars. They're not going to pick the stocks you think that they should sell and sell those stocks. They're probably going to sell. That's why your healthy stocks, a lot of times they're going to go down in a firestorm as well, because they're the only place you can raise money, right, Frank? If a stock drops from 60 to 10, the mutual fund needs to raise money, the last thing they're going to do is get rid of the stock that just dropped by 80% because there's no money there. They're going to have to.
You'll also see the futures, the E-mini futures, crushed after the close, because people have to. It's a partial hedge against their portfolios. So, for example, on February 5th, the E-mini future, which traded another 15 minutes after the close, was $50 less than the SPX, and that spread should have been about $0.03 or $3. So they took 2% out of the market trying to hedge after the close.
Well, after the 87 crash, it took probably, I'm going to say, a month for the futures to get out of negative, maybe more.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you were part of that. Did you have to sit down with the Fed where they said, how much do you need, $100 million, $200 million? Guys had whack, were out of whack that much.
I would have liked to have been in that group. I was in the group right before that. You could just go broke. I was not in the privileged group. There's always a privileged group, and then there's the guys just below it, type of thing. You don't want to be in that group.
Actually, the privileged and entitled group.
Yes.
It's amazing how often it's the same guys.
Oh, yeah, it's always the same people. And then, I don't want to go back into the kid.
By the way,
we don't need to go there.
Before we let Frank go, Kevin writes in on Twitter, Congress hasn't exactly been idle the last few weeks. Passed a bill to avoid government shutdown, passed opioid treatment bill almost unanimously, passed defense appropriations bill, and passed dozens of less newsworthy bills that are part of the business of government.
He's right. They did pass that opioid bill.
Yeah, he is right.
Yeah.
Did I say they didn't do anything?
No, I,
I think Chief alluded to not only was this Kavanaugh thing a fiasco, but then everyone that should have been doing more important things wasn't doing anything.
But that stuff has momentum to it. It's probably been, matter of fact, the opioid bill that Kevin didn't tell us, because he leaves something out once in a while, I think it was like a 4-year deal that somebody started, because I was reading all about it this weekend. It didn't just happen last month. One senator who actually championed the bill, I think he started 4 years ago.
You mean under Obama?
Oh, no, it couldn't have been. Couldn't possibly happen under Obama. You know, I mean, nothing good could happen there. It's not like there aren't like the committees that are working on stuff. I mean, even in the last week, guys are poking along on the next agriculture bill, and they're poking along on the next communication bill. I mean, I get that. But the fact is, you can rivet this country on a lot of things that, in fact, a fight that didn't have to be had. Let's put it that way. I don't think.
That's just right. I agree.
And that's what we get, because that's what we are. We want to have this to be on our entertainment. And we want this to be the right.
Well, maybe it's time to start doing this stuff with dignity.
No, we don't. We're so far past it. I can't even imagine how we get back to there. I honestly don't.
We put our mothers in charge.
Except they're all dead. At least mine is.
Right.
You know, it's a problem. There was a certain abruptness to those ladies, shall we say. I don't see how you... To me, Frank, it's all the same thing. And I know I piss the hell out of Maddie by telling him this all the time. Is that the economic problems have caused the idea that we're not all making it together. So it definitely is a question of who's getting what. And every time somebody, you know, somebody has a big day, somebody else has a crummy day. I mean, there's no feeling that we're all moving forward together here. Some areas of the country, maybe. But the idea that, this guy, he's there to make sure to vote, first of all, to keep Trump out of trouble. But he's also there to vote. He's always going to vote for industry. He's always going to vote against unions. I mean, we know he's going to vote. And that's not what I want. I mean, but I'm not in charge, obviously. And probably never will be. So, I mean, I get that part. So there's, what was the poster, Frank? The courage to change the things I can, something else to endure the stuff I can.
God, and grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, and we need a lot of that right now. I mean, that poster should be in everybody's office because... Anyway, Frank, thank you very much, buddy. S&P futures down 575, Dow futures down 88. We've come back some. Rest of the world all down. NASDAQ futures down 15. But we've come back some. We were down almost twice as much when we came in, especially in the futures. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Just met Weber. The board SP futures were down 575. We were down almost 8. We were down 8 when we came in, so we come back some. A lot of little weird stuff's happening in the world here, Manny. And these are not tradable events. They're not anything like that. But I'm starting to see that the people who were always been kind of allies all of a sudden now are having a little problem with some of our India is now is refusing to stop buying Iranian oil. And even though we're going to try to put sanctions on India now, and are actually looking to get away from all oil in the world. Well, has been up to this point traded in dollars. No matter where it is, they're denominated in dollars. Now, you probably can flip one into the other and back in and out quick enough, but they're all denominated in dollars, which is a tremendous advantage in a power spot for the U.S. to be. Now, India is telling the U.S. not only is not trading their buying their crude, they might actually still start paying them in rupees and not in dollars, and Iran might accept it. So, I don't think we want to give up that spot. I don't know that our guys are thinking all this stuff through that they're doing necessarily. Just saying. Anyway, what, do we got enough sports to talk about or what? What do you make of these? Now, if you are a brewer, say, a Milwaukee brewer, and it was 40-some degrees last night in Denver, the forecast today was to be 35. Are you pretty happy you won last night?
Yeah, I would say so. Today, Denver, a rain and snow mix, a high of 39. Right now it's rainy and 39 degrees, and that's going to be your high today. I'm going to be in Denver all week, and I fly out there this afternoon. Here are the temperatures, which I wish I would have checked this before I packed.
Well, if you'd have watched the game, you'd have known.
Yeah, I know, which I won the Cubs lost. My baseball season was over. 39 degrees for the high today, 43 tomorrow, 44 Wednesday, 47 Thursday. Good God.
Yeah.
And then it warms up to 57 on Friday and then back down to the 40s Saturday and Sunday.
By the way, it's supposed to be. Now, you are, since you are.
No, thank you.
Meteorologist.
And I'm there all week. What the hell? Usually it's nice there.
I'm tailgating for the Irish game on Saturday. I'm guessing 45. Supposed to be 80 some today. I think they're down a high of 50 on Saturday, I think, isn't it here?
Let me check. South Bend weather, Saturday, partly cloudy and 53.
Yeah.
Yeah. 85 today, 84 tomorrow, 75 Wednesday, and then drop all the way down, and then it's low 50s the rest of the week.
I've watched some of the baseball. It's been pretty good ball. And the interesting part is you watch things. I remember nothing changes. My uncle used to say, you gotta bring it for the good batters. Well, last night I watched the guy in the Dodgers, the guy Bueller, who's got one hell of an arm. He's quite a pitcher. Three guys get on base. I forget how the hell they get on, but they walk the last guy to face the pitcher. Now, the pitcher he's gotten one hit in like 5 years. So what do you think the guy does?
Gets a hit?
He walks him on four pitches, and every fastball was 97 miles an hour. Now, you mean to tell me you got to throw the ball that hard to get that guy out?
Right. Take a few miles per hour off and throw the damn ball over the plate.
Right. It's like... I mean, it's like me up there. What do you got to throw to me at that speed for? I mean, for God's sake, I can't see it at 75. What do you got to throw 95 for? I watch these other guys with these curveballs, and everybody's swinging at the ball in the dirt. They will not lay off. It's not just a Cub problem. It's a league-wide problem. And the one team is down by one run. This lefty comes up, and they put the shift on him. The third baseman was probably 10 feet from the batter's eye, left of second base. What do you suppose the guy does in the first pitch?
He pulls it?
Hits a two-hopper where the second baseman is right in the hole. Yeah. Not even. They said, look, you're two runs down. Here's the hit. If you want first base, take it. Refuse to take it. I don't get it.
I can tell you, I mean, we've talked about it before. If they're going to shift on me like that, and I'm Kyle Schwarber, or I'm Anthony Rizzo, and yes, I'm getting paid the big bucks to hit home runs. I totally get that. But first pitch, I'm showing bunt or I'm bunting every single time until, you know, I get a strike on me or until they adjust their defensive
line. Remember, that's a bunt. You just got to hit it that way.
Well, hitting it that way, I think, is easier said than done. Bunting, you should be able to bunt it that way every time.
But there are guys that, I mean, it's hard for a right-handed batter to do. But for a lefty, plus you're closer to first base to start with, for a lefty, I mean, there have been right-handed batters that made a career on their leadoff batter getting on, stealing second, and them hitting a ground ball a second and the guy a third. So it is possible.
I mean, I think it's very easy to pull the ball, yes. To hit the ball the other way, I think, is difficult.
I actually think it's the other way around if you're hitting it soft. But if you're going to swing hard, you're going to want to pull it. But anyway, either way, it's a skill set.
No one shifts to the opposite field. They always shift to the pull because it's much easier to pull the ball. And when guys roll over on pitches, they pull the ball.
Right.
Anytime someone throws a breaking ball, they pull the ball. You know, you can inside out a fastball, but, you know, usually when they're shifting, they're going to pitch toward the shift as well.
I'm saying it's a lot harder for a right-handed batter if they shift left on him. It's harder for you to do something to the first base side than as a lefty. You're running that way anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, the same mistakes you see the Cubs make, you know, the seven strikeouts after three innings, that kind of stuff. All these other teams are making it too, especially.
Well, the Cubs are, you act like the Cubs strike out more than anyone else. They're like middle of the pack. They don't strike out as more than anyone else.
Well, Atlanta, the young guys, I mean, Smoltz was saying, you gotta give this guy a take sign. He's swinging everything in the dirt. I mean, it's, you know, because Atlanta's got those really young players, and they all got talent. But they're swingers. Are they going to come back? They win one more game here.
I thought they were going to get swept, and then when they blew the 5-0 lead, I thought for sure they were going to get swept.
Yeah.
But Freeman had the big home run, and then the bullpen shut them down, and that was good enough. I don't think the Braves are that good. But they do have a lot of young talent, and I think they will be good in the coming years. I think they were a little ahead of schedule this year. Dodgers, I still think, are the best team in the National League, but no one wants to play the Brewers right now. That's clear.
I tell you what, the Brewers, those guys they got in the bullpen are as good as anybody I've ever seen coming out of the pen.
Yeah. I mean, Hader specifically is pretty much unhittable. Although Rizzo's hit him pretty hard this year, but no one else, he's lights out, and he'll go multiple innings. He's their, you know, Andrew Miller that the Indians had a couple years ago, where they'll put him in the seventh. They'll put him in any sort of key situation, and he can go two innings, sometimes three innings if you have to. And he's tough, really tough, especially on lefties.
Well, the pitcher walked a guy, or didn't walk a guy last night, and they almost picked the guy off first. The ball was so high, it had to be 5 inches above the thing, that the guy at first started walking to second, they almost got him. I mean, it literally, I looked at it, the guys at the booth are like, wow, there was a gift. What even? I mean, I don't. If the catcher would have caught it, would have hit the ump on the nose. It was that high, and he called it a strike. The catcher, he almost threw the first, almost got the guy.
Did you have a chance to watch any football yesterday?
I watched some of the Vikings. Vikings look good.
Vikings were probably, I would say, the Vikings and the Chiefs were the two most impressive teams yesterday, where they both had very tough tests. The Chiefs were at home, and they welcomed the Jaguars into town, who, you know, most people think have the best defense in the NFL, or certainly a top five defense. And Kansas City just took it to them, had no problem at all. 20-0 at half, and then, you know, won 30-14. And then Minnesota going to Philadelphia. Minnesota was 1-2-1, and, you know, in danger of going 1-3-1 when you have the Bears at 3-1. That's fallen, you know, pretty far behind in the division this early. And they got a really nice win. Had a good first half and then held on in the fourth quarter. Eagles made a charge in the fourth quarter, but the Vikings held on. That was a big win because the Packers do not look very good, and they've had a lot of injuries on offense. And the Lions look like they're good at home and really bad on the road. They beat the Packers and they beat the Patriots at home, but they can't win on the road. So things kind of worked out for the Bears. It would have been nice if the Vikings would have lost.
What about the Bills winning a second game?
Yeah, I mean, the Bills, their two wins are against what looks like potential playoff teams. They beat the Titans, who are division leader, and then they beat the Vikings on the road. But then they lose to everyone else, and they're 2-3. And the Browns have two wins.
Well, the Browns, you and I.
And a tie.
You and I, give us 25 picks in the first round over a three-year period. We can have some players on our team, even if we do it by accident.
I would hope so. Good God.
Yeah. Well, how many picks did they absolutely just pee away? Well, the one for, what's his name, Johnny Football.
Johnny Football was a horrible pick.
But there was one other guy. But the rest of them had to be halfway. I mean, all you got to do is look at everybody's list and pick one of the top two tackles or something. They got to be decent.
Well, the quarterback is the one position you kind of whiff on here and there in the first round because it's really hard. But all the other positions, usually a first-round pick, if it's a defensive end or a linebacker or whatever, usually that guy's really good or a tackle.
Who's the white guy? Who's the end on Minnesota?
Because wide receiver? Adam Thielen?
Yeah. God, is he good or what?
Yeah, he's a really good player.
He's undrafted.
Yeah.
Totally undrafted. I think they got some, I'll be nice. They got some characters on that Philly team. The guy gives up the 75-yard pass, then he's mouthing at the guy, almost gets the penalty. Who's the guy with the yellow hair? What the hell's his name? The guy in the Philly.
The running back?
No, the cornerback on Philly.
Oh, I don't know.
He's got some issues. So then one of this big, huge tackle says to him, hey, knock it off. The last thing we need is a penalty after you just give up a 75-yard pass. And the guy wants to fight the tackle on his own team.
On his own team.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Phillies got some clubhouse issues, or Phillies, the Eagles.
I mean, they might. I mean, it's a Super Bowl hangover as well. They're 2-3 right now, which no one expected that. I thought they might get off to a slow start. They're just getting Carson Wentz back, and he was pretty good yesterday, especially in the second half. 24-35, 311 yards, two touchdowns coming off of the ACL injury. But, the Vikings are tough. And even without their star running back, they're playing pretty good. Kirk Cousins looks like he's much better than Case Keenum was last year. And that's their big free agent guy they got at quarterback. And they have some weapons. Are they probably the best team in the NFC North? You know, if you threw the records out, I would say top to bottom, they probably are. Although I really like the Bears roster, too. But it's going to be interesting going forward.
The Bears, you look at You know, I watched a little bit of Dallas or some of the
I watched that whole game, which I never do.
You know, looked really good for the first time because he got that really nasty knee injury. We didn't know he was going to play again. The kid from Notre Dame made a couple plays yesterday where he ran down some guys that were not supposed to be. He's not supposed to be faster than. Who's the middle linebacker from Notre Dame?
Cowboys?
Yeah. Remember, he got the cheap shot in the Ohio State bowl game a few years ago, and they thought he had nerve damage on his knees, and he was out for like 2 years, and then he got drafted by the Cowboys.
Jalen Smith.
Yeah, and everybody wondered why the hell he even drafted
that guy. So I forgot he went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I remember who you're talking about. I watched that game last night. That guy was the best player on the field.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's unbelievable. But
it was incredible.
It's been that long for him to be that. Because they thought he did nerve damage, or he was never going to be able to play again, and then it was a year to see if the nerve came back, and then before he even really started to rehab. It was a horrible deal.
Yeah.
But now you look at him last night, and I'm sitting there going, wow, that's the kid I remember at Notre Dame.
He was sideline to sideline last night. He was the spy on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
So he just shadowed him, and Deshaun Watson obviously is a very good athletic quarterback, and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't scramble because Smith is so fast sideline to sideline that and the Texans had the ball inside the 5 yard line on three different drives and had to settle for field goals. They couldn't get in the end zone, and it was pretty much because of Jalen Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy, man. I knew he went to Notre Dame, and for some reason I forgot. Maybe the injury is what took it out of mind.
He got drafted and he didn't play because it was late in the year.
He was a second round pick in 2016.
Remember the big deal with the insurance?
Otherwise, he probably would have been a top five pick.
Yeah, remember the big deal with the insurance?
Yeah, I remember that.
For now that we brought it up, we should probably mention it to people. His insurance was if he got drafted further down than the second round, he was going to get paid. And then the Cowboys picked him, knowing that there was no chance he could play at all the next year because this was a New Year's Day injury.
Right.
And they picked him essentially in the second round, knowing he couldn't play for if ever 2 years. And he played last year, but he wasn't himself. Now this is his second year, I think, and now he's healed.
And he's still only 23.
Yeah, yeah.
He's from Fort Wayne.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He runs a 4.440 at that size, at 6'3", you know, 260 or whatever he is. He runs a 4.440. I mean, that guy is phenomenal. His talent jumped out of the TV screen last night.
Well, the Irish probably weren't going to beat Ohio State anyway, but they sure were going to beat him without him.
No, that's true. I mean, that guy was really, really spectacular. I think he's going to have a really good career if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I do too. And well, I hope so. I mean, none of these guys. But the guy from Minnesota, they said, weren't you passed over? He goes, I wasn't passed over. Nobody even saw me. I guess he was a 4.440 guy. And but he's tough. And he's been their best receiver.
Yeah, he's from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, wherever the hell that is. He went to Minnesota State University.
Yeah, where's that?
It's in Mankato.
okay.
And it's all.
Well, you know why I know that?
Oh.
Why do I know that? Because their hockey team was in the Final Four.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Minnesota State. I'm like, where the hell are these guys? And I looked it up, and it was Mankato. I'm like, okay, where's Mankato? But it's right on the river somewhere. Is it north of Minneapolis?
I think so. I just remember the show Coach. Remember that show?
Yeah, they're a hockey school.
And they were the Minnesota State was the school there.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a made-up school, but apparently there was a Minnesota State.
I can't get over to their hockey. He's already playing. I mean, it just seems like turning a hockey game out with baseball still playing just seems weird, but... Yeah, that game last night or something like
that. They always start in October.
It was like a college game last night. They scored, what, 3 goals in the last minute and a half?
Well, yeah, I didn't watch it, but I saw they lost in overtime. The Blackhawks,
when's the last time,
believe it or not, are at first place in the Central Division.
When's
right
the
now?
Last time you saw a team with 2 minutes to go pull their goalie, okay? And then, I watched when I was a Ute. I used to love watching the Hawks because, of course, you only watch them when they're on the road. I'm talking about Stan Mikita, Bobby Hull days. Pierre Palat, those guys. I mean, I can tell you their whole lineup because I loved it when I was a kid. And all right, who was on the scooter line, Matty?
I have no clue. I don't even know the current Blackhawks.
All right, was the scooter line?
I never understood hockey. To be honest.
One year, the scooter line only had was Stan Mikita. It was him, Kenny Warham, and Doug Moens. I think they only had 8 goals against an entire year. That's how good they were back checking defensively.
Wow.
And anyway, but they
saying they're rolling over in their graves after watching a 7-6 game last night?
Well, I was saying what happened was, they used to pull a goalie in old days. I never once saw a goal after you pulled the goalie. It was just, it was like 1 minute of trying and the other guys would get it and fire it and your goal, the game was over. Because then it was, now it's two goals.
It rarely happens, but it does happen sometimes, otherwise they wouldn't do it.
The Hawks score the open net goal last night and they tie it with like a minute and a half to go. So the other guys come down and score. they couldn't even. So guess what happens then? Patrick Kane comes out and scores. It ties it up again. This is all in the last minute and a half.
Man.
Then it went to overtime, and then the other guy scored. That kid in Toronto was unbelievable. That big guy, he's the guy who scored the hat trick on his first game a few years ago.
I remember reading about that guy.
Tavares? He's unbelievable. He's in a class by himself. A big guy, but he's got the quickest hands I've ever seen. I mean, he's catching one in the air, puts on the ground, and already it's gone. You can't even see it. He stick hands like he's Patrick Kane, only he's about twice as big. I mean, he's really something.
Yeah, he's their captain. His name is John Tavares.
Yeah, that was close.
6'1", 211 from Ontario. He was the number one overall pick by the Islanders in 2009.
How did he get to Toronto?
That's a good question. I got to find out.
Because Toronto had the three picks in a row that 1 year, or something happened, or they ended up, they got some good young players in Toronto. Finally, it's still I still think it's the hardest ticket to get in North America, even worse than when the Red Sox hockey game in Toronto. But so Manny, with the what do you see in terms of money this year? I'm really surprised that not surprised, curious. That football has continued to stick with the, I'm talking about the NFL now, has continued to stick with everything on free TV, and yet, unless you have a pretty good cable package, you can't watch any of these baseball games. And you wonder, there has to be some studies going on there, and you think one of the two is right. How can they both be right? Not right wing. You know what I'm saying? You would think one side would be winning and one isn't. I mean, how many people does baseball lose, or they don't? Maybe they're like you. If it's not your team, you don't watch them. You know, I don't know. But
for me, baseball is very local. It's my favorite sport, but only if I'm watching the Cubs. I have no interest in watching two other teams. Whereas football, I can watch any game basically. But I don't like football as much as baseball if the Cubs are involved. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I used to love playing basketball. I played three or four nights a week when I was younger.
And basketball is my favorite sport to play.
Yeah, watching pro basketball does nothing for me. It did when guys played defense. It was more like basketball. But now that four guys hang around a 3-point line, I don't even know what that is. That's not my basketball. But it doesn't mean it's not entertaining. But it is kind of odd that you all have massive budgets with huge marketing studies. You know what I'm saying? And yet one league decides to stay free TV and the other one says no.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
It must be a different in the demographic, would be my only guess.
That would make sense.
SP Futures still down 5. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Matt Barber. Come back with us with David Anneman talking about this market. Like Frank said, we had earnings this week starting out. We'll see what happens. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349
708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomas, Mr. Matt Weber, and the board of David Handelman here in a second. SP futures were bleaking again, down 7.25. We'd come back to being only down 550, but we're heading kind of the other way again. Dow down 101, NASDAQ down 22. The rest of the world is well down 99 cents. 10-year yield 3.23, so about as high as it's been. I'm going to say it might be exactly as high as it's been. We'll get that for sure from David. He's got all these facts and figures. DAX down 91.8%, FTSE down 43.6, CAC around down 46.9, so they're up a little bit from the last time we went through there. Asia, however, not so good. Nikkei down 191.8%, Shanghai down 104. That's close to 4%, but careful with that one because they were closed for 3 days. So they're playing some catch-up. 27.16. Hang Seng, 26,202, down 370. It's another 1.4%. So they got to be back under their lows for like the last 15 years. Again, we'll get that number for sure out of David because he's got all this stuff. Oil down 99 cents. Brent down 111. Its spread is now $9.70. Natural gas, again, up another almost a dime. 323. This is the trade of the year to buy this like 3 weeks ago. I can't imagine. Of course, it's the world's biggest contract. Nobody ever trades it. But if you had a two lot of those things, you'd be having a good year because they're big. Gold down $11 now. $11.93. Dollars up. Silver down 19 cents. This is crazy. China's easing their policy. We've got, people from India saying they're going to buy Iranian oil. Anyway, all kinds of crazy stuff going on around the world. Italian market down heavy. Mitty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Some accidents starting to pile up here this morning, which is surprising on a Columbus day. You'd figure lighter traffic, but we do have foggy and wet conditions out there. I-57 northbound at 167th Street. There's a crash with a pull down. That's causing delays. 80 to the Dan Ryan, now 20 minutes via I-57 due to this crash. On the Dan Ryan itself, there's an issue on the inbound Ryan in the local lanes at 43rd Street. There's a report of a car that hit the wall
That's causing delays as crews work to get that.
Saying the wall one.
We're thinking the wall one, that one as well. On the Stevenson, that earlier crash at LaGrange Road exit is clear, but now there's a new one, southbound, so on the outbound side of I-55 at First Avenue, there is an accident causing delays if you're heading out to the southwestern burbs. Eisenhower traffic building, no accidents or issues to report. On the Kennedy, we have a crash blocking the left lane westbound just before Harlem Avenue. So that's on the outbound side before Harlem. And all kinds of issues resulting from that. Not good for those heading out to O'Hare. Also, Route 390 tollway eastbound just before I-290, there is a crash, so expect delays in that area as well. So all kinds of issues on the expressways this morning, even though it's a holiday Monday for folks that are in the financial industry as far as bankers are concerned. Certainly students, schools are closed throughout the area, but still all kinds of traffic for whatever reason. Off the expressways, out near Bartlett and Elgin and that area, State Street at US 20, there is a crash. And then we have that issue on the south side that we talked about earlier due to some overnight shootings. Cottage Grove, southbound between 115th and 111th is closed as three people were reported shot. So southbound, four Cottage Grove buses are temporarily rerouted via Cottage Grove, 111th, King Drive, 113th, and Cottage Grove. So it's affecting all kinds of issues, or all kinds of public transportation down there in the Pullman neighborhood. Weather today, cloudy, rainy, but hot and humid for this time of year. We'll reach a high of 83 steamy degrees later on this afternoon. Right now it's foggy and 66 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies, beautiful weather, high of 76. Right now it's mostly clear and 60. In sports, NFL action, the Bears were off on their bye week. They're at Miami this coming Sunday. Cardinals got their first win of the year, though. They beat the 49ers 28-18. Sunday Night Football last night, it was Houston over Dallas in overtime, 19-16. In hockey, as we talked about a little bit earlier, Blackhawks lost in overtime 7-6 to the Maple Leafs at home last night. Hawks are still first place in their division, 5 early points. Baseball playoffs, Milwaukee advances to the NLCS, sweeping Colorado, winning 6-0. Braves stayed alive, they top the Dodgers 6-5. Dodgers lead that series 2-1. In college football, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, now ranked number 5 in the nation in both polls. They're 6-0. Chief.
So, David, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
So do you think in the old like Gunsmoke episodes when you had the two losers would come out of the saloon and shoot each other, do you think they would like reroute the stagecoach for a day around the body so they figure out what happened?
I don't know. Probably send in more marshals.
I just I don't know, amazing stuff. David, the news is all over the place on the market today. We've got the Italian issue. We've got the emerging market issue, except for Brazil, because they elected a right winger and its stock ran up. We're not sure what the success is there. We've got markets down everywhere. We got the trade war. Now people, instead of talking before the election, are talking 10 years. Morgan Stanley or somebody came out, or was it UBS the other day? And now all of a sudden, with the dollar runs up every day, so we're crunching precious metals. When does the dollar stop going up just because the rest of the world is going the crap hole?
It probably will, ultimately, on a day-to-day basis, anything happens. But ultimately, I think it is yield differentials. So if Europe does, in fact, raise rates and there's a narrowing of the yield differential between our prime lending rate or even short-term rates and their, you know, lending rates, then the dollar will go down. Ultimately, that's just like earnings are the mother's milk of stock prices. I think yield differentials one to the other. The money's going to flow where it can earn the most, unless, you know, they feel like it's haven because it's too dangerous, so they'll take less.
Yeah, I just the idea that with tariffs flying around the world and potential trade wars and things, the idea that you're going to give your money to somebody for 10 years for negative interest rates, what does that somebody do that? I have no idea. I mean, those guys, they're going to have to come off that pretty soon, David. I don't.
Oh, I agree.
And somehow, I don't know. I just get this.
Draghi has indicated, you know, he changes the time frame and the time window, but, you know, he has indicated that, you know, he's certainly open to raising rates.
Well, I mean, it was a horrible policy to start with. These guys ever admit that they screwed up? Then they never would. I don't think it's in the. I don't think it's in the blood, the blue blood. The I'm just. Did they actually think that that was a? I'm sure if he had a grade himself, he'd grade himself an A. God, if we didn't go to negative interest rates, look what would happen. It's hard to tell what would happen. I mean, it's
right.
It's hard to argue the negative, but we got bank earnings coming out this week. The XLF cannot get out of its own way. The bank stocks have not performed well this year. The only thing that I feel somewhat good about and sticking with the gold and silver is that if I was going to move, I would have moved them into the bank stocks and hadn't done anything either. And right now, it's kind of hard to see an area that has done well on the year. And if we get another week like last week on the FANG stocks, I'm not sure anybody's going to be up, David. Even
some, you know, the one that I thought, you know, was maybe safe because of really outstanding pipeline and whatever was some of the biotechs, the IBB and XBI, and being frank, those got hammered at the end of the week, too.
The only stocks that are really standing tall right now, I mean, there's more than that. I mean, there's a million stocks, but I'm going to say the trio now is Apple, Caterpillar, and Boeing.
Apple got hurt pretty big.
Well, but it's what, 2% off all-time highs or something? I mean, Boeing is...
I think the and I am not really invested in these, so again, full disclosure, but no, the utilities have held up. I think energy, you know, because of the strong crude prices until late last week and early today, the energy stocks have held up. And a few isolated, you know, techs, but not so many.
Well, I mean, it's amazing the difference of what you're in, David. I got a lot of my people are in the gold, silver, which has been a struggle. But the XLE has been, this year, after struggling last year with the oil companies not doing anything, this year has been an absolute joy to trade.
Yeah,
it's been up and down a few times. We've rolled our hedge. Now it's pretty much on the yearly high. We've sold calls probably 6 or 7 times, and every time we've made the money on the call, and all of a sudden you get one that just works. Then you get some, you know, not so much.
That's maybe why it's good to be diversified and to be an XLE rather than trying to cherry pick.
Well, that's the truth. You still have had some stocks in there that have been, you know, the dead dogs behind you. Ben Schlumberger still hasn't done very much.
No.
And
the oil services, some of them. Halliburton, a dog.
What I wanted to garner from you, what out of all this time, I mean, for God's sake, we've been doing this show 8 years, David. Every day, natural gas, 271, 272, 269, 274. All of a sudden, 324. What in God's name is going on? Did the Farmer's Almanac, which I almost bought last week, it was Friday, I saw it somewhere, are they calling for like an ice age this winter or what?
I don't know the answer. I really don't. I wish I did, but and then again, I mean, it's all happened in the last 3-4 weeks.
But I've heard no massive. I mean, it's not like it's cold or, you know, an old cold spell or anything. Even that, we've had early cold spells in the last.
And it hasn't been really hot to use, you know, the air conditioners either.
No, but all of a sudden it's just. I mean, it's had a move way more than oil.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fundamentalist to begin with, and the little that I know, you know, certainly as far as fundamentals, you know, currencies and stock indexes, yes. Individual companies, yes. Natural gas, no. Not even an amateur in that area.
The only thing I'm thinking, and maybe I will get a email for a tweet from one of our listeners, is that somewhere buried in this. One of these trade agenda things out of the, you know, 9 zillion pages that are in these things, there might be something that affects natural gas.
Maybe just because they've opened it to export and world demand is good. Other than that, I wouldn't even have a guess.
Yeah, I don't mean it just because I mean we know we're moving along. What's the name of Cheniere and the liquefied?
Yeah,
we're bumping along that way, but it's not like in the last. You know, 5 weeks, you know, 15 new liquefied natural gas ships came on the horizon that I could see.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's
I'd call Tommy Shanahan. He'd have the best knowledge.
What? How big is that contract? We used to have people who traded that thing. I remember one guy one day years ago bought what he was supposed to sell, and he, in 10 minutes he was down like $20,000 or something.
Yeah, it's historically, and again, I don't know in recent times, especially with, you know, the the Merck kind of taking over the Globex, you know, taking over a lot of the New York products and whatever, I don't know, but used to be kind of thin, spreads were big, open interest wasn't large, and so the swings were huge. I cannot tell you anymore.
Is this the news on this GE, is this so classic? In today's world, you don't think you'd see stuff like this like you used to. Dr. J, his DPM, this is you know, in 2000 maybe. He traded, what the hell was the name? Was it Micron that he traded? And might have been. I think it was Micron, David. And obviously, Jan can tell the story better than me, but one of the guys who owned a real lot of Micron shares was Simplot. Mm-hmm. You've heard that name. Matty, who's Simplot? You should know that name.
I'm not sure I do.
He provides, at one time, didn't he provide all the frozen French fries for all the McDonald's,
yes,
or something?
Potato boy.
And he owns like half the state of Iowa or something. Big potato guy.
Supposedly when the potato futures contract was active, there was a specification in the contract as far as they had to be delivered in a certain type of bag, some kind of burlap bag.
Really?
And evidently, he had literally the corner on all the bags. And so if he wanted to squeeze it to where it wasn't deliverable, sorry, there's no bags. Come back tomorrow.
Well, at one point, he owned a boatload of shares in Micron. I don't know how he got them, why he got them, I have no idea. And so Micron's going down, and so all of a sudden he goes, he has his margin call, so like Merrill Lynch takes him out at like, you know, some number, $10 or something. And the stock's trading like, I mean, Jan knows the exact numbers, but the stock's trading like 11. He gets taken out at like 10 or something. They immediately issue a buy on the stock, and like it closes that day at like 13 or something.
Oh, God.
but they totally, you know, bleep the guy. and he's a huge long-term client of theirs, too. I think it was Merrill Lynch. Next time John's on, I'm going to talk the story. But something along those lines. I'm looking at this GE now. The thing, you couldn't get a recommendation on anybody, but to sell his GE, it was worse than like a dead skunk's behind. And all of a sudden, the thing traded, what, 12.5 or something? They fired a guy, and now everybody's talking about 20. How many people did these Barclays, do you think they got out at like 12 and 12.5? And now they probably own it. They can't wait to tell how high it's going to go. I mean, the game never changes, does it? I mean, even though you think it would in today's, it's like, you know, you watch what's going on in Congress and the little foibles and the little playground games. I mean, Maddie and I have discussed this. It almost, do these guys even know that there's more information out there to now? We can go into the part where there's not as many writers and all that stuff. But the fact is, if you say something stupid, or people are probably going to hear it, right? And sometimes these guys, they act like it's 1950, and it's not. Anyway, does anybody look and see that like 2 months or 2 weeks ago, everybody's telling everybody to sell GE, and the same people are telling you to buy it?
I mean, everybody had it going to 9, 8, you know, 5, and, you know, oh, we'll look at it when it's a penny stock at 5, and, you know, now those, you're right, the same people. Well, you know, they got this guy from Danaher, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's the same balance sheet, it's the same debt issues, it's the same worries over the dividend, and yet everything seems to have changed.
Yeah, the same debt issues and interest rates are going up, and all of a sudden they're better than 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So what do you make of Frank brought up that at least bank earnings this week. XLF can't get out of its own way, David, or are these guys a buy here or what?
It will depend. I do think it's going to depend on the yield curve. It's not so much interest rates. I mean, that was the tout. Oh, if the interest rates go up, you know, then they'll make more. And I actually expect that they will have a decent quarter. But their trading's down. I mean, the big thing that I've been able to come up with, not just on banks, but, you know, on companies like Blackstone and especially BlackRock, is that, you know, the investment banking, the IPOs are way, way down. So much of that stuff is being handled, you know, either by law firms. My daughter is part of that, and you know they are getting deals private and public and taking away from the Goldman Sachs. You know, Morgan Stanley, you know, hit 52-week lows and the like. They're handling a lot of that. But a lot of these deals are going private equity, so they're not even involved in the publicly traded companies.
Well, some of the Ubers
trading down and investment banking down, the yield curve better widen out big time for you to increase margins to fill in where you're lacking.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not so sure I buy that part about interest rates going up, because I seem to recall...
No, I just said that was the initial tout, but that didn't work out.
I sort of have trouble with some of this stuff, because when I started the business, interest rates were 12 or 15%, pick your spot, and these bank stocks were flat on their behind, so it wasn't like they were killing it.
Right.
I mean, they clearly weren't, but now that was an extreme, obviously. But is anything gonna, is there going to be a time to buy this Wells Fargo? I watch these commercials now. Talk about it.
Of all of them, I'd say that's Wells Fargo and Morgan Stanley are the two to really steer clear of. I think Citi, you know, at 0.9 price to book is probably a buy. Bank America you can buy. Goldman only if you have are pain tolerant and have a long, long-term horizon. But Wells, I think, has got, you know, big-time issues, and Morgan Stanley, just because they've taken, you know, the investment banking big-time out of their pockets, those are two, I think, to avoid.
So, Matt Weber, you're, you know, a questioning millennial sort of dude. I'm not saying anything bad with that. You were watching the sports yesterday. Did you see any of the Wells Fargo commercials?
Seen a bunch of them, yeah.
Now, do you what's your first reaction to the... Maddie Weber and Jill survived the earthquake in San Francisco, and you walked into the Wells Fargo office and without any records whatsoever, saying, "I have $500, you guys. How about giving me two and I'm handing over to two?" Do you believe that or not believe it on the face of it?
I assume there's some catches to that.
In other words, it's a no. This is a yes or no answer.
Okay. Yes,
it's a no. She was very well dressed for somebody who just survived an earthquake. The wife, just saying. And couldn't find her bank book. But, some of these commercials are back to Stagecoach days and stuff, David. I mean, are they kidding? But that was a good one. They took you at your word that you had money in the bank, and even though they couldn't find any of the records after the earthquake, they just handed out cash. Well, if they couldn't find anything, where'd they get the cash?
Maybe they're still recovering from that now.
We've got those guys. Is there... When we start to turn a little bit like this, on the one hand you say, for God's sake, we're only down 1.5%, 2%, what's everybody worried about? We're starting to see some issues in some of the, starting to. I mean, the Italy thing, these other markets. What is, when you see somebody like an ally like India, tiny little story, David, but does it do anything for you that they refuse to stop buying Iranian oil? You know, by the way, they're going to look to start paying for it in rupees, not dollars. If we start getting, what does a break like that do? If all of a sudden people start buying oil and something other than the dollar, what does that do to the dollar? I mean, I got to believe that's a knife in the side. If all of a sudden,
when there's been just way before the trade tariffs and trade rhetoric and trade skirmishes and trade this and trade that, you know, how many times did, you know, Russia and Iraq and all those places say, you know, we're going to only take payment in a basket of currencies, or we'd prefer yen, or we only want British pounds or whatever. I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to just say it's not a factor. It's a factor, but it's been threatened so many times before.
I agree.
I mean, even Bitcoin. You know, or a variety of you know, those kind of currencies. Oh, you know, we'll take Litecoin, or we'll take, you know, all these other ones, cryptocurrencies. I think the dollar is the standard and will remain the standard, and it all comes back to the dollar.
But I agree with you. I just, in this day and age, David, after watching the fiasco in Washington last week and other things that are happening, I don't know. I mean,
well, you know, and with regards to your point and somewhat agreeing with it, you know, how many times, well, we'll take hard assets. We'll take gold. Yeah. We'll take platinum. And those are still out of favor.
Well, there's always been, in my opinion anyway, there's always been, even no matter who you were, Democrat, Republican, in office, nobody really wanted it. There were certain things that I'd say, you know, to varying degrees of thought, we didn't want Russia encroaching back. Okay, we wanted the dollar to remain the currency of the free world. We thought it was a huge position of power for us, and it was something that virtually every Federal Reserve person, every president, sort of wanted. We didn't want people encroaching in the Western Pacific. We didn't want, you know, China flexing their muscles because it was a problem with Japan and other places. I don't know if the resolve in this administration is the same. I mean, I don't know if they care if necessarily if Russia walks into Lithuania or if all of a sudden people start paying with the oil with something other than the dollar. I'm not so sure they even care that much if China expands them. So, I mean, when I say care, they probably rather it didn't happen, but I think we're kind of withdrawing on a lot of this stuff, David. It's way more of an isolationist approach. And I don't know that as long as, you know, the president, you know, his trade deals that we somehow are the profit in for, I don't know that he cares about whether oil is being transferred in dollars. And I don't know if he understands that.
I would agree with you.
I mean, I'm not so sure the resolve is there.
Yeah, when you start moving big time towards isolationist policies, or even, you know, oh, we're not going to have, and I'm not defending the policy because I don't know enough about it, but we're not going to have multilateral trade agreements. We're not having TPP. NAFTA is going to be, you know, it'll be called something else, but it's really two bilateral, you know, agreements. And if we go to Europe, you know, we'll negotiate our own deals with Germany on cars and Britain on something else and France on something else. You know, it's isolationist, but it's also, we don't want any, you know, multilateral deals. So when you get that way, you are going to, there's too many items, like you pointed out, you know, the items on the China list, thousands. You know, you can't keep track, and you're not going to sit and say, oh, well, you know, Russia's agreed to buy Saudi oil, or they're getting Iranian oil out the back door. How's it being paid for? Oh, we're going to slap sanctions. You can't. You can't do everything. Do they care? I don't know. Do they know what's going on? Probably not. Are they able to ascertain if they were diligent? Probably not.
Yeah, I just, after Kevin sent me that thing on the NAFTA, like I said, I got through 60 pages and every line item I couldn't even understand. Well, Q, I could. And
they have three categories for ball bearings.
Yeah. So, but how is it if we had individual ones of those things with Japan, China, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Singapore, we're going to have individual ones, whatever. How the hell are we ever going to police one guy shipping it to one place and then over here if it's all not the same number? Can you imagine the screwing around that's going to happen?
No, I can't.
I mean, even if you wanted to, how would you, I mean, how would you,
you couldn't.
The Chinese salt shaker goes from China to Thailand and here. Okay. And we got two different degrees.
And then backdoor through Canada.
And backdoor through Canada. We got different agreements with everybody. I mean, there's a lot of jobs there, but Matty, it's your new career. Can you imagine? How would you like to just be the guy that goes to the port every day? What do you got? All right, give me a check for this. Give me a check for that. I'm leaving. See you. How many people like that do we need?
Full-time job just trying to figure out what's coming in and from where to Dollar Tree.
Yeah. What? Oh, God. What about IKEA? And where are those meatballs really from? You know, all right, so predictions for the week. We're down, but we're not down very heavy considering the rest of the world. China sure adjusted with a 4% move. Huh? And
I think it's going to be very choppy, and that's not a squeamish way out. It's just seasonally not the right time to bottom. I do think some of these areas, like IWM, I mean, I've been calling for bottom. It hasn't happened. But it's, I mean, all the oscillators are so extended, it's beyond stuff that I've seen for a long time. So if nothing else, even if it goes down, I think it's finally going to gain, you know, on some of the S&P and Dow ETFs. Other than that, I think you just trade it very, very carefully. One thing that has turned positive with the weakness was my focus list of growth issues. Much improved list last week. So maybe NASDAQ also will find a little bit of a home, but I'm not calling for any major bottom for a while.
I've seen these interest rates, David, in my longer than maybe should be career. We went from whenever it got near 3%, it got smacked down like a whack-a-mole. So it looked to me like we weren't going anywhere for like any long period of time. I've seen that happen. Now we're up to 3.23 this morning. I've also seen where once it starts to move up or down, it does that for 6 months, and you know we're having this conversation next March, and all of a sudden this thing's like 4.50 or something. I mean, how do you know when it's just going to keep trending, or how do you know when it just reaches the top?
Goes it just has to exhaust. I mean, that's it. Gap down and close near the top, and then gap up, or you know, just make a big-time daily reversal followed by, you know, upside follow-through, you know, in futures. Or it has to tell you. Until it tells you, don't try and pretend.
Well, the thing that makes me worried about these interest rates going higher fast, for some reason, David, they're not connected, is this natural gas. I thought, boy, there'd be a pause in there, and there hasn't been. And I wonder if this...
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about this one. We'll see. S&P futures down 550. Dow futures down 89. NASDAQ futures down 92. Who's playing tonight, Matt? Anybody good?
Tonight's New Orleans and Washington, so it's a pretty good game.
Oh, okay. Matty, fly safe, buddy. We'll see you, what, next Monday?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Have a nice trip. Trips. We'll be right back tomorrow morning, Stacks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.